The following is a Barrett Sports Media production. We do the digging, so you don't have to.
We've got breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Bringing you the biggest stories from the industry you care about. This is the Media Noise Podcast.
Well, let's hear it.
Now, here's your host, Dimitri Ravanos.
This is going to be a very different episode of Media Noise this week. Seth Everett is going to join me momentarily, and we are going to talk about the fact that it's been 20 years since 9/11. We will look at it from a sports and sports media point of view, so I will give the obligatory trigger warning. I guess that if you still have strong emotional connections and reactions to that day and your memories and feelings from that day, just be aware this may not be the episode of Media Noise for you. That is coming up, but first. Well, college football is back, and I found it very interesting in week one that there seems to be a particular hook that Fox and their Big Noon Kickoff show are going with in the 2021 season. I will be honest with you, the Big Noon Kickoff show, I don't dislike it. I don't like it. It doesn't really do much for me one way or the other. I think replacing Urban Meyer with Bob Stoops is a major downgrade in terms of personality, so I'm not optimistic for the future of that show. However, I will say, I think it is super smart and very intriguing how often, at least in week one, that show was all in on talking about Reggie Bush needing his Heisman back. Now, it is a great way to prop up one of the stars of your show, which I'm sure is the overlying both narrative and motivation there. However, I do wonder if there is at least a small subversion towards ESPN and the idea that ESPN really is the power player pulling the strings in college football. Because what is more anti-establishment than preaching from the mountaintops that the NCAA rules do not matter, we all know how this world works, and Reggie Bush should not be penalized for something that now, A, is totally acceptable, taking payment for your name, image, and likeness, and B, is something that we knew went on all the time at every program across the country, even when it was, quote-unquote, off-limits or illegal or whatever the case may be. I don't think Fox producers came into the season saying, we are going to put the fact that Reggie Bush should have his Heisman Trophy back in the spotlight specifically as a sort of middle finger at ESPN, but the conversation in the offseason has centered around how much control ESPN has of college football, how much that network really is the establishment more than the NCAA itself in the college football landscape. And oh, by the way, they also are the media partner of the Heisman Trust. Again, I don't think this was a conscious decision. It is just a nice little subplot, I guess, that further establishes that the Fox Kickoff show, Big Noon Kickoff, is the one for the fans and not the one dictated to you by the people in power in the sport. A few years ago, and we're going back to now 5 years since the attacks of 9/11, I had a consultant, this is when I was still working in rock radio, that was very adamant about when you talk about 9/11, it is not an anniversary. An anniversary is something to be celebrated. This is a remembrance, and weirdly, that is something that has stuck with me probably just as much as where I was that morning. Here we are 20 years later, as of Saturday, 20 years since the terrorist attacks of 9/11. Seth Everett is with me because, Seth, you talked to Ross Greenberg, who directed a documentary that is going to be on HBO Max called Extra Innings from 9/11, 20 years later. The reason I wanted to do this on the podcast is because the sports world was so important in terms of recovery, feeling some sense of normalcy, even keeping us connected during 9/11. I guess as we approach the 20-year remembrance of this event, it makes sense that we are seeing all of these different documentaries from a sports and sports media point of view.
Yeah, I think that what Ross Greenberg did was, it's basically a sequel to a film that he did in 2005 for HBO which was nine innings from ground zero. And that was the recovery. It had a lot to do with George Bush throwing out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium. It had a lot to do with that World Series. And then what he did in this film is he revisited everything 20 years later, including some of the young family members of victims, and now seeing them all grown up. One of the neat things about the film is one of the young kids who lost a parent on 9/11 is now working for SNY. Another one, another gentleman who lost his father, now works for the Yes Network. So you see the parallels, you know, to the Yankees and the Mets and what New York was in the healing. It really was. It's heartwarming to see. There's a camp that was created a few years after 9/11 for kids of victims. And what they did was, it was just a camp where all the kids could be together, have a normal camp experience, but all have something in common. They all lost somebody significant. Right. Well, two people who were campers got married. Like these stories, 20 years later, you start to see these things. And that's why I really applaud Ross and Joe Levine, who co-directed it with him. They did this documentary to not just revisit it, but to show how everything evolved. And the best part of the documentary, I'll tell you, is the first 10 minutes, because you hear from Joe Torre, Bobby Valentine, Bernie Williams, Al Leiter, Mike Piazza, of where they were when. And what it does is it reminds you of where you were then. And how you heard the news. And I thought that was very jarring. Yes, the buildings, and yes, the footage of that, and the Jeter flip, and Mr. November, and the Piazza home run, and all that's in there. Don't get me wrong. All that's in there. But that's fascinating to hear what Al Leiter was concerned about, because he was supposed to pitch in Pittsburgh for the Mets and didn't go with the team to get an extra day of rest. And how his initial instinct was, oh, my God, there's a plane that hit the World Trade Center. How am I going to get to Pittsburgh?
Right. And that's one of the things that I think a lot of us, when we talk about this event, you know, when we talk about the day, obviously your mind goes to where you were. Right. I was a junior in college at the University of Alabama. I was in my in the house I shared with two other dudes. And I got a call from one of them. I just gotten back from visiting family up in Brooklyn, who said, you know, I just got a phone call. I said, you might want to call your cousins in Brooklyn to make sure everybody's okay. So that is certainly the way to open the documentary, connects it in a very human way, because no matter if you are a sports fan or not, you have your memory of where you are on 9/11. I also think it really does do a good job, because of who they interview, of tying in the weirdness of everything giving over to the news coverage, right? I remember how strange it was that SportsCenter just ended. And now we were on ABC News, and we were on ABC News on ESPN for like 4 days, I think, before anything at all resembling ESPN came back on.
Well, I can tell you, and this is going to sound really weird, but that morning I was living in Brooklyn, New York. It was my first year working for Major League Baseball, and I was on the radio. I was a guest on a radio show hosted by Holden Kushner in Des Moines, Iowa.
Sure.
I was on the radio baseball in Des Moines, Iowa. And I did it. Holden's an old colleague of mine. And I'm on the radio, and my call waiting kept going off. And I didn't answer it because you were on the radio.
Yeah.
I hang up. The phone rings. It's my father. He was across the street from Ground Zero.
Wow.
So he calls me and says, I just want to let you know I'm all right. And I went, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And he says, put on the news. I got to go. My sister was living in Greenwich Village at the time. My sister's 3 years younger than me. And she was walking towards Ground Zero. She saw the second plane hit live. You know, so she had that. And then when the building started to crumble, my father and my sister fled to my sister's apartment. Immediately, the bridges and tunnels were all closed in New York.
Yeah.
And Major League Baseball shut down. But the weirdest part about it was Bud Selig sends this email shutting down the sport. and we had a phone chain because social media didn't exist at this time, you know? And I had to call former major leaguer Billy Sample. I had to tell Billy Sample about 9/11. And I'll never forget that phone call because he wasn't, I think he was working out. He didn't see the news. He didn't. And this is 9 in the morning. And so everyone had their own thing. Once I realized that, and I remember this clear as day, once we realized that there was no place to go, that I couldn't get to New Jersey to be with my mother, I couldn't get anywhere, I couldn't get to Manhattan, I did laundry. Because I couldn't sit still. I'm watching this all unfold at a laundromat. And then someone in my building said, if you go up to the roof, you can see it. And I went up to the roof, and I probably spent from 11:30 to about 8 at night just watching the smoke from there and listening to it on WCBS 880. It was a day I'll never forget. I was so lucky. I lost someone I went to high school with. My producer lost his next door neighbor at the time. I knew a lot of people, you know, I knew a lot of people that had lost their life, but it was nobody in my inner circle.
Right.
And so 9/11 to me is always a day of great luck for me.
Sure. Sure. You know, as you think about the days and weeks afterwards, the reason that Ross did, what was it called? Nine innings from 9/11, or the first one was called, is that nine innings from ground zero?
Nine innings from ground zero.
Yeah. All right. So the reason Ross does nine innings from ground zero, the reason now we are revisiting it as extra innings from 9/11 is because I think universally baseball is seen as the shepherd, I guess, so to speak, of us getting back to any sort of normalcy. I will tell you, being in the deep South in a state that never has had and never will have pro sports, the return of college football, I think, was just as important to that part of the country. But because baseball is the national like candle
at the
flame,
time
whatever.
It was the at the time it was the national pastime.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like in this particular moment, it was what we were looking to because we were closing it. Yeah, like football had just started, right? We were closing in on the postseason of baseball. Tell me what it was like inside the office as not only games are getting ready to begin, but as you transition into the postseason, and there is that recognition that this is going to be like unlike anything we have ever done before.
Well, I remember the first game they sent us to was at the Vet in Philadelphia because the Yankees were on the road and the Mets had to switch. They had to go on the road because Shea Stadium was being used as a triage center.
Right. I remember that.
And so they sent us to Philadelphia for the Vet for Braves Phillies. I remember the first game I came back and Charlie Steiner was doing that game for ESPN Radio.
Let me ask you, by the way, how did you get there?
I drove.
Yeah.
No, by then the bridges had opened.
That I get. But I mean, like, I remember when college football came back, I remember being on the quad at Alabama and still feeling uneasy when you would look up and see planes in the sky.
We were at the time, you know, we went down to, we thought it was important to be at a ballpark.
Yeah.
Because as long as the sport was shut down, we were muted. We were off the air. And when we came back, Charlie Steiner came over to me and this was an off-air conversation. And he said, how are we doing this? Like, what are we talking about? And he said, I have a proposition for you. It's going to sound very heartless, but Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson were not supposed to pitch on September 11th. And because of the 6-day layoff, they are getting extra starts. Is that right? Should you have to stick to your rotation? Because at the time, the Diamondbacks were in a pennant race. And I said, wow, that feels human.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that wasn't something heartless. That was something. And so on the radio show that day, Billy and I had that discussion because it was the first time we could just literally put it in just a sports prism.
Yeah.
And then I remember that Friday. So that was on a Monday. That Friday, I had to go to Shea Stadium for the Mets' first home game. And that's for the first time I got the major security. That was when you literally had everything sniffed with dogs and everything of yours, all your equipment. And I remember I was very torn because I made a huge stink when Sean Green used to take off for the high holidays, for the yep. Jewish holidays. And so I made a vow that I was going to take off for the high holidays. And I had taken off for Rosh Hashanah, which was the week prior.
Uh-huh.
The difference was this was the night of Yom Kippur, and I couldn't not be there.
Yep.
I felt so compelled to be at that game. That turned out to be the Mike Piazza game. And you didn't know when you were going that was what that was going to be. I can remember traveling in the playoffs. I remember we didn't go in the first round because we hadn't gotten all our security stuff going.
Yep.
And I remember going to Seattle for the ALCS for Yankees and the Mariners. Remember, the Mariners had 116 wins that year.
Was that and that year? I thought that was...
That was 2001. Okay. Yeah, that was 2001. And I had just come from covering the Mariners, so I knew that team very well.
Yeah.
And then the two greatest sporting events I think I've ever seen live, games 4 and 5 of that World Series.
Yeah.
I had never seen anything like that. That building was shaking. Mm-hmm. And that's really something that they focus on in the movie. They take you back to that moment and how, and no offense to the new Yankee Stadium, nothing will replicate the old Yankee Stadium. The structure shook. Yeah. And it was amazing. George Bush throwing out the first pitch was such a demonstrative moment, and how they wanted him to throw out the first pitch in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And he refused. He said, the only place I'm doing it is in Yankee Stadium. It just, there's so much of a rally, and you never felt so much patriotism. Isn't that a thing that isn't that nice to feel?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it is interesting too that, you know, you had, in my eyes, still one of the three or four best World Series I've ever lived through.
Couldn't believe it.
But then to, you know, what now we're talking about 2 months, maybe 3 months later because of the pushback. Then you get the beginning of Tom Brady as this all-time winner. You get an amazing Super Bowl. You get another moment in the Superdome with the U2 halftime show reading all the names of the people we lost during the attacks. It is weird as we look back now, 20 years later, just how much the dots of that time and of our move back to this place where I think most of America probably is looking at Saturday like, oh, holy shit, it's been 20 years. So many of those dots are connected by sports.
Well, you know, another example, they always do the reading of the names of the victims.
Right.
And I always watch it up until G, because Brian Goldberg went to high school with me.
Yeah.
And we weren't great friends, but I know his wife and I, or his widow. And I know all those people who he was friends with. And what I do is I start at 8 o'clock in the morning and I just try to watch it for like the first 2 hours. It's like 6 hours of coverage. And I just think that before everything kicks off, look, you know, Syracuse plays Rutgers. I know, well, I'll be on Saturday. It's the women's final of the U.S. Open. There's a lot going on in sports. Yeah. And then, of course, it's the full week one of the NFL season. I know there's the Thursday night opener, but that's the first full day of NFL football. It's a big weekend in sports, but it's a big weekend where I think we should all start it off remembering what happened 20 years ago.
All right. Big thanks to Seth for taking some time to talk with us today. And Extra Innings from 9/11, I believe, is available now. I believe it will be out by the time this podcast drops on Friday. So check it out on HBO Max. As for what we are watching for next week, did you see the ratings for college football over the first full weekend of action? I want to see what that means for the NFL, because if college football was turning in the kind of audiences it was, NFL ratings might just blow us all out of our chairs this week. So that is certainly something I'm keeping an eye on. We'll talk to you next week, everybody.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Thanks for listening to the Media Noise Podcast with Dimitri Ravanos. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. And check back soon for new episodes. To stay up to date on the latest sports media happenings, visit BarrettSportsMedia.com.